Let's turn to the book of Proverbs in the last chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, and beginning with verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant." Always wondered what the merchants needed with girdles. Different kind of girdles. Verse 25, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children's children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Verse 29, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth Yahweh, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her know, let her own works praise her in the gates." This, without doubt, is probably the most often used text of Scripture on the first Sunday of each May, ever since the inauguration of the first Mother's Day. Anybody know when that was? When Mother's Day was when what's the most well-known holiday card company? Hallmark. When Hallmark decided we needed a Mother's Day, that it shouldn't be observed every day instead of just one day a week, so they could sell more cards. I don't know when it was, and I don't know if that's how it came about. But ever since the inauguration of that first Mother's Day, this, without a doubt, again, has surely been the most used text of Scripture for each Mother's Day message, or for the majority of Mother's Day's messages throughout the land. Consequently, it is normally a familiar passage to most churchgoers now in the 20th century. But what may not be well known about this particular passage is that these 22 verses that I just read to you were originally put together in the form of an acrostic, with each verse starting in turn with the successive 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. How many knew that? Well, that's because you didn't listen to some of my previous messages. At least I think I shared some of that in the past, but it may have been a long time ago, so I'll let you get by with that. King Lemuel, the author of this particular proverb, it would appear, did so in order not only to give tribute to all virtuous women, but to probably also demonstrate that to do so would exhaust all the resources of the Hebrew alphabet, the Hebrew language. In like manner, someone in more recently wrote a song in acrostic form inspired by the English word mother. M is for the million things you gave me. Linda, by the way, gave me this. She's not real sure this is word for word, so forgive us if it's not. But M is for the million things you gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart that's made of gold. E is for her everlasting goodness. R is right, and right shall always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that little song does justice to the attributes, the virtues of a mother. It certainly doesn't do justice to my mother. How about yours? Cute song, but certainly doesn't even come close to explaining or to elaborating on all the virtues of a mother. Consequently, in attempting to once again give honor to whom honor is due, I decided to do my own acrostic of sorts. And I want you to participate, if for no other reason than to exercise that gray matter that more often than not is not used to its full capacity. Now, does everyone understand what an acrostic is? For those who may not, we're going to take each letter that forms the word mother and then see how many, not just one, but see how many English words that begin with the same letter that can be employed in describing the virtues or the characteristics of a godly mother. Okay, so we're going to take mother as it's spelled and see what we can come up with. Now, unless you spell mother differently than I do, that means we start with the letter M. So, help me out here. What other English words? And I can just imagine that once we get past this one, you probably won't hear the rest of the message. You're going to be thinking about the rest of the letters and what other words you can come up with, which will be fine. But help me out. What other English words beginning with M can be used to describe a good or godly mother? Moral, okay? You guys are doing real good. A little bit more difficult than it would have first appeared, wouldn't it, isn't it? Okay, musical, we could say, for at least some mothers. My mother was the same. So much so that one of my sisters is an opera singer in Switzerland. So that definitely goes with my mother as well. Anything else you can come up with? Well, here's what I came up with. And let me assure you, it certainly is an incomplete list and only begins to describe the attributes of a godly mother. M is for mate. In order to be a mother, a woman obviously must first be a mate, or as the Bible puts it, a helpmeet. Genesis 2 in verse 18, it says, "And Yahweh God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmeet for him." And of course, and then proceeded from Adam's rib to form and create Eve. Now, I know that modern 20th century woman liberals strongly reject God's plan for women in this particular regard. They don't want to be considered helpmates, but rather co-partners. Or if the truth be known, for some of the more radical ones, they really want their husbands to be their servants. Complete change around. And that's a complete reversal of roles, if you will, from the way God designed it to be. And that's why such women will never, never make good mothers. Since no one can reject God's plan for their lives and for it then to turn out well. Have you ever noticed that it's primarily, in regards to what I just said, that it's primarily the women liber types, the feminists, who also both murder their own babies and also encourage others to do likewise? You talk about lousy mothers. You know, they remove the possibility in many cases of them even being mothers. What children, and especially daughters, by the way, need most from their mothers is, well, let me assure you, is not a take your daughter to work day that so many have just celebrated in the past, but rather than all the trappings that come with that movement that's inspired that day, but rather a mother who loves and honors their father. That's what a daughter needs most from a mother. And any women libbers who might somehow listen to this tape in the future, if you don't believe me, just ask your own daughters which it is they prefer. A mother who takes them to work or a mother who loves and honors their father. I guarantee you, I can tell you what their answer will be. The Apostle Paul. Oh, I know that I can't quote the Apostle Paul since he's a male chauvinist pig. That is, at least according to the female liberated sows. Some people don't like that, but if it's good for the gander, it's good for the goose. Well, nevertheless, the Apostle Paul, inspired, by the way, by Yahweh's Holy Spirit, their beef is not with the Apostle Paul. It's with Yahweh God of heaven, the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one who planned their lives to be lived in a certain way. Nevertheless, the Apostle Paul, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, in writing to Titus, admonished older women, listen to this, to teach the young women, I think probably specifically their daughters, to be sober, and then it says to love their husbands and to love their children, Titus 2, verses 3 through 4. Women, if you truly, truly love your daughters, then you need to resurrect the lost art of teaching, of instructing them in how to love their husbands and how to be good helpmeets. Now consider this, that if this is something that I think, as most people think, that if this is something that just happens naturally, then there would have been no need for Paul to admonish the older women to teach the younger women how to do it. It's an art. For the most part, in this day and age, a lost art. Not only are women not teaching the younger women, not only are women not taking to heart the admonishment of the Apostle Paul that older women need to teach the younger women the art of loving their husbands, of being the helpmeet to their husbands that they should be, it's a lost art in the fact that it's just not even understood for the most part. There are few women who understood how much of an art that is and that it does need to be instructed to the younger women, to the daughters. M is not only for mate, but let me point out that it is also for matchmaker. Every good mother is a matchmaker. Rather than leaving what is without a doubt the second most important consequential decision of one's life, of course second only to a decision to serve Yahweh Yeshua in one's life, rather than letting that second most and consequential decision of one's life, rather than leaving that to chance or to accident, or worse yet, to hormones, a good mother along with her husband is praying for and scoping out potential prospects, good matches for each of their children, long before they ever reach the marrying age. You know, several years ago, I was inspired by Linda not only to pray for my children's mates, but more specifically, to pray for the parents who are right now raising my children's future husbands and wives. What a grand idea. I know it would escape me, but I've been praying that way for my children. I don't know who. I can't name them. I'm scoping out some people, both Lynn and I do, godly parents who are hopefully raising, will raise godly children. But I'm praying for the parents. Unnamed, but I'm praying for the parents of whoever it is that God knows is going to be the future, the parents of the children who will be the future spouses of my children. All parents should keep in mind that they are not only raising their children, but also someone else's children's mate. M is also for mentor. Webster's 1975 New Collegiate Dictionary defines mentor as a trusted counselor and guide. I don't know that it's legitimate to use it this way, but sometimes maybe not such a trusted counselor and guide. Counselor and guide, but not maybe always trusted. Every mother needs to understand that she is, good or bad, a mentor. Her children's eyes are always upon her. Always talks about the children. Parents' eyes are always on the children. Good idea. But don't forget it works the other way around as well. The eyes of the children are always on the parents, in this case specifically the mothers, and the life she lives before them while they are small will be someday the same recordings that will be played back in their minds and exhibit in their lives as they raise their own family and children. M is also for models, and I'm not talking about the kind that are young, skinny, and on the covers of Cosmopolitan. The world loves to hold out these types out as the epitome of true womanhood. Well, here's how much outward beauty can do for you if there's nothing inward to support it. Proverbs 11:22 from the New American Standard Version, it says, listen to this again, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman without discretion. Boy, you talk about picturesque. You know, I've ringed some bulls in the past. You don't put a gold ring in a bull's nose. But here's, to make it worse, you got a pig, and with a gold ring in his nose. What in the world good is that? Well, about as much good as a beautiful woman without discretion or some other qualities that should be in her life. The true qualities of womanhood, of femininity, and note that I didn't use the word feminism. There's a difference between femininity and feminism, I'll guarantee you. But the true qualities of womanhood or femininity are found inside, not outside. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We'll be reading it again, this time from the New American Standard Version for the sake of clarity. It says, Paul writing to the Christians in general, or Israelite Christians specifically, he says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external. Now, merely in the New American Standard, I might point out, is in italics, meaning it is not literally translated from a word that's there, but simply an intent that's found in the passage. It's not, as New King James would have it rendered, it would appear that women are not to do any of these other things. Let me guarantee you, those things are important too. Just ask your husband whether he wants you to keep yourself looking nice, if he wants to be in public with you, with a nice woman or one who's unkept. So it's not dealing with the fact contrasting the external to the internal. It's contrasting the fact of external only versus keeping yourself and whether you're endowed with beauty, but that not to let it just be that or that merely. But again, it says, and let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, or let it be the hidden person, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious, listen to this, which is precious in the sight of God. Let me tell you, it's precious in the sight of men too. Young ladies who may hear this message, let me tell you one of the things, when men certainly are attracted to the outward beauty, but a godly man and a man who's thinking with his head and with a godly heart is also attracted to a woman, and he finds it precious, just as it is in the sight of God, a woman who has a quiet and gentle spirit to her. For in this way, it goes on, for in this way in former times the holy women also. Notice, even at the time that Peter was writing, it had already started to escape because he has to go back to former times to set the example. How much worse today. For in this way in former times the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. There's no question those women, they adorned themselves outwardly, but he's not talking about that, is he? You know, they wore a lot of jewelry in that day and fine dresses and fine linen. Go back to the book of Proverbs chapter 31. You talk about a well-dressed woman, and a well-dressed family. Proverbs 31 woman was that way. But he's not talking about that. He says, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, the inward qualities. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. What kind of model, ladies, are you leaving for your children? The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Proverbs 14:1. M is for mirror, a reflection in the lives of her children. What is your reflection, ladies? Are you a reflection of Yeshua or of something else? Can you say to your children, as Paul did to the Corinthian church, be imitators of me, as I also am of Christ? 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Without going into detail, M is for medic, or maybe we'd call it a mender, for a mediator between children, for merciful and modest, or somebody said moral earlier, for multifaceted. And if there's ever anything that's multifaceted, it's a mother. And I don't know if you'd consider this one, but how about multilingual? Have you ever noticed that at times only a mother can discern or interpret the language and sometimes even the cries of a young child as it's growing up? And M is also for martyrdom, since that is essentially what a godly mother does for her children. She gives her life for them. From the time that she conceives her first child to the time she passes on to another life. But above all else, M is for magnificent and marvelous. Now, that's just M. We've got six letters to go. Am I running out of time? We'll see. I get a little less winded on each one of them. Let's go to O. What characteristics, have you thought about O? What characteristic, what character qualities of a mother that begin with the letter O can you come up with? Obedient. Okay. Anything else?
Open.
Open. That doesn't start with O. Where were you at H? Oh, a little bit tougher maybe. Well, Linda didn't read my notes. O stands, I begin, with obedient. Titus 2. Let's go back to Titus 2. We're going to have to, obviously, according to the timekeeper, get after this message. Titus chapter 2. Again, in verses, beginning with verse 1. Originally, I started with verse 3, but I want to begin with verse 1. Titus 2, verse 1, it says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Notice the things that he's going to talk about as being characteristic of things of sound doctrine. He says that the aged men or older men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. That the aged women or older women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And then verse 5 says, to be discreet. It continues where beyond where we have read before. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their husband, to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Obedient to their own husbands. Oh my goodness, today's women don't want anything to do with that, do they? You know, what used to be accepted and customary in a woman's wedding vows is now being indiscriminately purged from the same in most weddings performed today. I mean, they just will demand that a preacher leave out obedience. This is one preacher they won't ever get. They want a preacher that wants to leave obedience out of the wedding vows. Forget it. I'm not performing the wedding, because that's what the Scriptures teach, not only there but in other places the way. You know, today's quote-unquote modern women regrettably view being obedient as degrading. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But that's where they're coming from. Obedience is degrading. And thus they want nothing to do with it. When in fact, it's disobedience that's demeaning. 1 Samuel 15:23, maybe you've already figured out where I'm going with this. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Have you ever heard anyone describe a woman, not in the literal sense, but in the figurative sense, as being a witch? Well, sure you have. Well, think about it. Never will you hear a woman who is obedient and submissive to her husband depicted as being a witch. Will you? It just isn't the case. That type of woman is never going to be depicted as a witch. It is always the opposite. Why? Well, because rebellion or disobedience is as witchcraft before God. Obedience is not demeaning. Disobedience is. O stands also stands for oasis. A godly mother and wife is an oasis to her family, a breath of fresh air and a taste of cool water amidst a world that can often be described as a desert or a barren wasteland. She's somewhere to run to. Not always the father that you're going to, that's always the oasis. He may be the protector. Probably a better word to use there than that. But it's the mother who's often run to be the oasis amongst all this chaos in the world. O stands, and maybe this is part of the reason, but O stands for optimistic. Again, we're not talking about all women here. We're talking about a virtuous woman, a godly woman. And so O stands for optimistic. Part of King Lemuel's description of a virtuous woman is that, quote, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she, New American Standard, and she smiles at the future. She's optimistic. Proverbs 3:31 and verse 25. Why? Well, because she knows that the present, as well as the future, no matter what it may hold, is all in the hands of Yahweh, the sovereign King of little kings. He's got it in control, and nothing can happen outside of His sovereign control and power. And so she smiles at the future, no matter what it may hold. O also stands for outgoing, open-minded, objective, organized, and usually overworked. And O should also stand for ovation, since for all of these things she deserves our praise and our applause. Let's move on to T. See, I told you I'd get less winded on each one of these. Let's move on to T, words that begin with T. Have you thought of any of those that describe a godly or virtuous mother? Tenacious, that's one I hadn't thought of. Good one. Tender, okay. Anything else?
Talkative.
Yeah, makes me think of Revelations 8:1. Women aren't going to make it to heaven. When the seventh trumpet blew, or whichever it was, there was silence in heaven about a half an hour. Linda swears men won't be there either. Anyway, well, let's go on. T stands for teacher or tutor. And obviously not meant exclusively for homeschooling moms. Excuse me. It is meant for homeschooling mothers, because every mother is a homeschool teacher, just some more than others. Every moment with your child, actually from the moment of conception, is a classroom lesson. Go ahead if you're ready to turn. By word or example, everything said or done is a lesson for life, and in more ways than just one. T is also for theologian. Don't normally think of mothers as being theologians, but although it shouldn't be so, in many instances, a mother is a child's primary Bible teacher. It should be men's job, the father's job, but regrettably it's not always that way. It was certainly the case in Timothy's life. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first not in a grandfather, not in a father, but first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. He got it from his grandmother and his mother, two mothers. The Legacy by Alice Mason. She could not give her children gold, she gave them faith to have and hold. She could not give them a royal birth, a name renowned throughout the earth, but she gave them seeds in a garden spot and shade trees when the sun was hot. She could not give a silver spoon or servants waiting night and noon. She gave them love and a listening ear and told them God was always near. She could not give them ocean trips aboard majestic sailing ships, but she gave them books in a quiet time, adventures found in prose and rhyme. She could not give them worldly things, but what she gave was fit for kings. For with her faith and books and sod, she made each child aware of God. I like that. T is for Trinitarian. Not in the normal sense, but in that a mother must often be in three places at once. T is for telepathic. That is, the ability to convey thoughts to her children without ever uttering a word. There are those times, aren't there, mothers, when that is absolutely necessary. While in church, sometimes. T is for troop carrier. As mothers are usually the ones, while fathers are away making a living, who are responsible for transporting the children to and from ball games and piano lessons, etc., 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 etc. T is for thermostat. That is, an atmospheric regulator. You know, a mother is often the one who brings stability to the home. A father does it in his own way as well, but a mother also is the one who keeps things at an even keel in the household. And then T is also, for somebody mentioned this, tender-hearted, tolerant, yeah, and I'll add tenacious too, for true and trustworthy and tactful, and sometimes what appears to be turbo-powered. H, how about H? Any words for H, for a mother? Okay, your turn. I guess I honest, Bob. I messed up too. I had you with at the beginning. Mothers don't start with H. We're both in the same boat. We got problem spelling, Bob. Honest. What else? Helpful. Well, H is for high bred. That is, coming from superior stock. That is, if the woman is a godly mother. High bred, not because of who her parents were or are, but because of who her God is. King Lemuel began his expose of a virtuous woman in the following way. He said, "You, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies." Proverbs 31 and verse 10. And then he concluded the same dialogue in the following fashion. He said, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth Yahweh, she shall be praised." Verse 30. In other words, high bred or born from above. H stands for honorable. Proverbs 31 and verse 25 in verse A says, "Strength and honor, honor are her clothing." And in Proverbs 11:16 it says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor." She holds on to it. She helps it to grow. And it ends by saying, "As strong men retain riches, a gracious woman retaineth her honor." H is for a homebody or a homemaker. Fathers may be the keepers of the home, but it's a mother who makes the home. Once again, part of Paul's description to Timothy of a godly woman is, "The aged or the older women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." I know in the day and age in we live, that's not always possible. But we're to be that. Women are to see that as their primary domain, their primary place of where their primary attention needs to be focused as much as possible. H is for hospitable and hostess. Men, I don't know if you've ever considered just how difficult a job that really is for a woman. You know, a wife, your wife is expected to open her home and to be a gracious hostess to some of the strangest of people, yours and your children's friends. You know, and yet she has to maintain that graciousness of a hostess when that's the case. H in mother is also for huggable. And I resent it. It's unfair. You know, I have to work sometimes. I have to coerce my children to get most of my hugs out of them. Whereas Linda just sits there and looks huggable. And the children just naturally gravitate to her. You know, it's kind of become a kind of a contest or a game with my children for me to get hugs out of them anymore. But they just naturally just end up in her lap. Kind of like the story is always told about me, and I don't remember this, but how my father would come through the door. I'd run to my mother's lap and say, "Oh, I love Mommy," or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I didn't run to my daddy. I ran to that which was huggable. H is for hygienist. Can you just imagine, men, what condition our children would be in if hygiene was left up to us? Be a sad state. Reminds me of the dirty 38-year-old. There was a man who once was disturbed outside his home by a bunch of rowdy boys, and so he stuck his head out the window and yelled at the noisiest youngster of the bunch, and he said, "Hey, how old are you, young man?" Which the youngster replied, 8 years old, to which he replied, "Impossible. No one could get that dirty in 8 years." Well, men left up to us, the same kid would remain dirty for the next 8 years, more than likely. H stands for humble, hardy, and hardworking. There was a mother who was describing to her small son some of the happier times in her girlhood, and when she had rode ponies and slid down haystacks and waded in the brook or the stream nearby the home, to which after the woman had finished, the little boy kind of sighed and said, "Gee, I sure wish I'd have met you earlier." Well, H is for hardworking. Sometimes those lighter things in life, because a woman does give her life for her children, have to be put to the side. But most of all, H stands for heroine, because every godly mother is a heroine. How about E? Bob, you come up with any E's? E's, excuse me? Earnest, there's one. Wasn't sure I'd get any E's. Anybody else can think of an E? Elegant. Esteemed. Okay, good, you're doing pretty good. E is pretty tough, though. Well, or is it? Just listen to them in alphabetical order without much elaboration. E is for economist. These are the woman that has to keep the money flow or keep it going where it needs to go. We have to be economist when she shops and so forth. An edifier, efficient. Egg beater or chief chef. For elegant, as somebody said, eloquent, enchanting, encyclopedic. Boy, you don't want to rely on me. You better rely on your mother. And energetic. I'll guarantee you that the first Energizer bunny was a mother. For enterprising, enthusiast, even-handed, for everywhere. For extrovert, entertainer, for enterpriser, exhorter, and exuberant. And if that were not enough, E stands for extraordinary excellence. Whereas the King James translators rendered Proverbs 31, verse 10 with the word virtuous, the NASB translated it as excellent. An excellent wife who can find, for her price is far above rubies. Men, let me tell you, if you have found such a wife, such a mother, your children, you had better hold on to her, because you have found a very rare and precious jewel. I know I'm not letting go of mine. Last but not least, R. Any R's in the audience, or words that begin with R that describe a mother. Regal. Reliable. Okay, you guys are doing pretty good. The R in mother stands for rear guard. Whereas a father is a family's front guard, mothers are a family's rear guard. You know, Linda has often alerted me to the not so obvious dangers to the family, or to a consequence to a decision I was about to make that I hadn't thought of on more than one occasion. Men, you would do well to take advantage and often heed. You don't have to heed, but at least listen up and take into consideration. And you do well in most cases probably not only to take advantage, but to also heed your wife's advice. We are often so occupied with the obvious that we often miss the obscure, which I'll guarantee seldom escapes our wife's notice. R is also for, you'll like this one, right wing. Especially in this group, huh? But even otherwise, because we're talking about a godly and virtuous woman, for right wing, mothers, i.e. good mothers, i.e. godly mothers, are to be right wingers. As I've demonstrated in other messages, right is contrasted to left in the Bible, as good is contrasted to bad. All good and godly mothers should be right-wingers. They may not want to admit it, but if they're good and godly, they already are right-wingers. You know, the attempts of the politically correct liberal left-wing gang to vilify the phrase right-wing is just another fulfillment of Isaiah 5 and verse 20, of those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, and who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's all it is. Because right wing is good. If you're good, you're right wing. In addition, the R in mother stands for reader, record keeper, refined, regulator, for reliable, for rent a car, rescuer, respectable, for responsible, righteous and romantic, and if you will, for rub-a-dub, as most women are, more so than certainly the men are. You know, several years ago, Prudential Life Insurance Company attempted to determine a woman's worth by figuring the hourly wage for different jobs that a housewife is responsible for, such as cook, housekeeper, dishwasher, seamstress, dietitian, etc., and there was quite a list. And when it was all added up, they figured that a woman's worth was approximately $283.49 per week. That's only $1,228.46 a month, or $14,741.48 a year. Well, let me assure you, men and children, that at today's hourly rate, and with everything else considered and figured in, much of which wasn't figured in the original estimation, that a mother's worth far, far exceeds $283.49 a week. King Lemuel's estimation of such a woman, such a mother, was far more accurate, let me guarantee you, than was Prudential's. Well, once again, he said, an excellent wife, and I might add, in mother, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. Have you, men and children, accurately estimated the worth of your mother and of your wife and the mother of your children? Men and children, listen to me. Or, if you won't listen to me, listen to King Lemuel, who was inspired to write that last proverb in the book of Proverbs. To such a mother, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth Yahweh, she shall be praised. Let me tell you, if it's not by you, then you may find someday that it's being done by someone else. Let it be so today and every day for our mother's sake. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and glorify you for our mothers, and Father, for our wives, the mothers of our children. Let them be blessed today and every day in their lives. Help them to feel, Father, that they are praised and that they're considered, Father, as special in the lives of their children and of their husbands. Forgive us when we fall short. Let us not take them for granted. Let it be a blessing to them and a glory to you. We ask it now and praise you in Yeshua the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And we're dismissed.